Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I totally forgot about this one. You know, it's crazy how much more is coming out about Joe Biden now that all these tell-all interviews are coming out, the tell-all books are coming out. We saw it all. So I don't know if we really need them to tell it all because we saw it all. But there's still some interesting stuff coming out of the latest tell-it-alls. But remember that time when Speaker of the House Mike Johnson was talking about how he met with Joe Biden and they were talking energy policy issues, and Speaker Johnson said, "Mr. President, why did you do blank?" And Joe Biden was blank. Joe Biden was like, "What? Oh, we didn't do that." And Speaker Johnson, who's a really, I'll tell you what, really nice guy, really thoughtful guy, he says, Joe Biden, by the look in his eyes, he had no idea. He legitimately had no idea that he supposedly signed off on, I think it was like you'll hear it here in the audio here in just a second. But I was just listening to a Jesse Waters segment here real fast, wrapping up some show prep here, trying to get everything done before the show officially starts. And you never get enough show prep done, really. You're just always trying to prepare for a show like this. But so I was listening to it, and it's like, oh, I totally forgot about that moment. But check out this new one. This is one of the newest revelations here. I think this is a Senator Josh Hawley. That one of the things they've been finding out is that Joe Biden got lost in the closet. Now, Jesse Waters, he joked later, that was one thing about Bill Clinton when he was president. He would never get, lost in the closet by himself.
This Secret Service whistleblower actually was assigned to Biden, and he told me that Biden used to get lost in his closet in the mornings in the White House. I mean, the guy literally stumbling around in the White House residence couldn't find his way out of his own closet. The President of the United States. I mean, this is outrageous.
The leader of the free world couldn't find his way out of the closet, and no one noticed. Joe was locked inside while his team was out running the country. The Speaker said when he went to the White House, Biden didn't even know what he'd signed off on.
Sir, why did you pause LNG exports to Europe? Like, I don't understand, liquefied natural gas is in great demand by our allies. Why would you do that? Because you understand, we just talked about Ukraine. You understand you're fueling Vladimir Putin's war machine because they got to get their gas from him, And he looks at me stunned with this, and he said, I didn't do that. I said, Mr. President, yes, you did. It was an executive order, 3 weeks ago. And he goes, no, I didn't do that. And he's arguing with me. He genuinely did not know what he had signed.
Yeah, and then there's another clip that I'll play here probably coming up after the news and weather break here, but where Jesse Waters talks about how the big guy was not 100%. So it makes you wonder, was the big guy too busy getting his 10%, too busy getting his cut? So is that why he was so willing to let all of his aides just run this country into the ground and do whatever they wanted to, as long as the big guy and the big Biden family was getting their cut and getting their beach houses and getting their Corvettes with all the top secret documents next to them in the garage? Or was it just that the big guy wasn't 100%? Or maybe it was both. The big guy was getting his 10% all the while he wasn't 100%, which made it even more easy for Hunter Biden and the rest of the family to keep cashing in on the backs of the American people.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny to partly cloudy skies today, a few isolated showers or thundershowers possible this afternoon. High temperatures stay from the lower to middle 60s. For tonight, isolated shower, thundershower chance early, followed by low temperature readings from the low to mid 40s. And then for Wednesday, we'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine with high temperatures in the mid 60s to around 70 degrees. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
Several U.S. defense leaders spoke at an expo in Washington, D.C. Monday, reflecting a consistent theme. We need to speed up our defense industrial-based processes. Secretary of the Navy, John Phelan.
Unfortunately, our adversaries are closing.
Which he says means
we are going to need to become more adaptable, quicker, and I'd much prefer not to have a conflict to force us into that mode.
That thought was echoed by Indo-Pacific Commander Admiral Samuel Paparo, who advocates an urgent transformation.
Demanding speed and innovation from all of us.
Army Secretary Dan Driscoll said part of the problem is the Pentagon itself.
We in the building, for some reason, have just like taken these insane positions that just slow everything down.
Admiral Paparo said that needs to end.
We need engagement at the speed of combat, not committee.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, that one's really got to get under their skin. That one has really got to get under their skin. Apparently, pride, the oh-so-prideful, look at me, the oh-so-prideful Pride Month is not that big of a thing anymore. This is really interesting. What was propping up Pride Month? What was propping up all of this pride? Your taxpayer dollars. So as all these DEI programs are getting cut, as all these DEI programs are getting gutted, and also as all of these corporations have realized, like, the American people are getting sick of all this nonsense, they're getting sick of this radical left-wing sexualized ideology being shoved down their throats. These corporations are starting to realize, like, okay, yeah, we just need to stop doing this stuff. And so the Democrats are big mad that, like, Target, you know, 1 year ago would have their prideful stuff everywhere, right? Remember when they were doing the weird swimsuits in the kids' areas, all sorts of creepy stuff targeting kids? Not anymore. Apparently, like, this year, all these Democrats are mad that their radical left-wing sexualized ideology targeting kids isn't on full display at some of these big box stores. So they're big mad that Pride Month isn't what they thought it used to be or something. Very interesting. I've got a write-up here from Matt Walsh somewhere in my stack of stuff that we need to get to at some point this morning. But let's go back to the latest revelations, the tell-alls, even though we saw it all, about Joe Biden. So Jesse Waters had a great segment, as always, last night. A couple of things he featured. Oh, man. Yeah, there's a couple of clips I got to highlight here. So, man, he was talking about Bill Clinton. You know, Bill Clinton came out. I don't know if you heard Bill Clinton now. But former President Bill Clinton.
Well, I met with Joe Biden, and he seemed great. Biden was, he just seemed awesome.
Did we play that? I don't even think I played that soundbite yesterday. I feel like I snagged a soundbite of Bill Clinton talking about Joe Biden and how, Joe Biden was totally with it. Yeah, man, he's a fast mover.
Really? Yeah, but when I yell at kids to get off my lawn, Joe Biden, he really shuffles along.
That's what Bill Clinton, that's the only way I could recap what Bill Clinton had to say. Bill Clinton's in total denial about Joe Biden. He's the only one apparently not getting the memo, according to Jesse Waters. But anyway, Jesse Waters featured a clip from Bill Maher. Bill Maher, who's he's really a far left guy. It's just he's not all in on some of this crazy transgender stuff and some of the other woke nonsense. But Bill Maher was asking a very good question. Okay, if all of these people knew that the big guy wasn't 100% with it, then why did all of these people focus on making sure that Joe Biden was going to be their guy instead of having a primary election or more?
Bill Maher, he's wondering why Democrats even let Joe run.
If you really thought Trump was the existential threat he was, then, you know, to your point earlier, why put up Biden? If it was really that important. I mean, Democrats will never be able to answer that question. If that election was really that important, you couldn't summon the courage to confront an old man that your time has passed?
Well, that's a good question.
Democrats knew Joe was fried back in 2020, and they all backed him up on the campaign trail. He was forgetting the names of aides he'd worked with for 40 years. Staffers were alarmed and would whisper how the big guy wasn't 100%.
Okay, I see the Bill Clinton audio now. That's right. I didn't grab the Bill Clinton audio yesterday, or maybe I did, but I've got a brand new clip today, too, because Laura Ingraham and Raymond Arroyo were discussing Bill Clinton. But then they get into Greta Thunberg, too. So I would play that one right now. But then once we start talking about Greta Thunberg, the climate alarmist activist and what she's up to now, that takes us down a whole nother track, practically a whole new segment of its own. So let me stick with some of the great things that Waters was talking about last night. Let's see. So apparently there's a podcast. Everybody's got a podcast, it seems like. There's a podcast called, is it The Brilliant Idiots? The Brilliant Idiots, I'm assuming it must be a Democrat podcast because he was interviewing this guy, Charlemagne, the black radio host, who was all about Kamala, and now he's just dishing on the Democrats and, you know, their illegal immigration and all the problems that cause and this radical woke stuff, et cetera. But anyway, they had a little bit of this back and forth where they were talking about I'll just play it for you.
I don't think that they can continue with the current elites that are in power. I don't think with Pelosi.
They got to go.
They've lost the people.
I just told Chris this. These are culture wars.
Yeah, the Democrats just don't know how to play culture. You want to know why they don't know? Because they're not in the culture. They're in Ivy League institutions. They're on the Upper East Side of New York. They're handing out at fancy dinners. They're patting themselves on the back on golf courses. They are not in with the regular people. Now, you could say the same thing about Trump. You could say on paper the exact same thing about Trump and the Republicans. But then why do they keep doing this?
Because
they are in culture.
Democrats are scrambling to find a new face. And the only thing they can agree on is no more Kamala. Some don't even want her to run for California governor.
All right. On that point, though, what Charlemagne and then that Brilliant Idiots host were talking about there, Democrats aren't in the culture. They're only in the Upper East Side. They're only in these elite institutions. They're in their little bubbles. Let's look at it from a Montana perspective. They're only in the university districts. They're only in these downtown districts. I mean, really, they're the elitist snobs who look down at everybody and want to dictate to everybody. By the way, speaking of the woke, did you hear what happened in Missoula last night?
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The nice thing about writing the listing federal budget ship is that it's totally within our power to do so in an orderly way, at least today. But every time Congress passes laws to limit its spending, remember Graham Redmond Hollings? It finds ways to ignore them. State governments that have balanced budgets have, some better, some worse, those requirements written into their constitutions. Clearly a similar requirement must be adopted at the federal level, or one Congress's frugality will be gleefully undone by the next. An even more daunting task will be removing golden handcuffs, putting the giant entitlements off limits for budget discussions. Everything that spends money, with the exception of interest on the debt, needs to be on the table. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and even veterans benefits need overhauls just to make them financially sustainable. And just as Willie Sutton famously said when asked why he robbed banks, that's where the money is. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Everyone in the House chamber groaned recently when House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries began speaking on the floor against the Big Beautiful Bill around 5:34 a.m. last week. Most House members only get a minute to speak on legislation before the House, but top House leaders from both sides of the aisle are afforded what's called the magic minute. That's where the clock does not run during their time. So Jeffries was allowed to speak as long as he wanted and delay the vote on the Big Beautiful Bill. Former House Speaker John Boehner spoke for about an hour and a half against the climate change cap and trade bill in 2009 when he was minority leader. That lengthy oratory came to be known as the Philibainer. Former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy established the modern record for the longest speech in House history. That was 8 hours and 22 minutes in November 2021 when he was minority leader. McCarthy was speaking out against the Build Back Better bill. All told, Jeffries' presentation was nowhere as prolific as either Boehner nor McCarthy. Jeffries wrapped up his remarks in about a half hour. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Egg Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Egg Network. Well, cattle producers from across the Cowboy State are gathered this week here in Laramie for the Wyoming Cattle Industry Annual Convention. And Saratoga rancher Jack Berger says, "It's been the privilege of a lifetime to serve these past 2 years as president of the Wyoming Stock Growers Association."
Yeah, it really has been a privilege. You know, we've enjoyed it and stuff like that. Got to do a lot of things, go a lot of places. And, you know, being around the state is kind of my favorite deal, I guess, going to the local cattlemen's meetings and stuff like that. And there's been other organizations reaching out and wanting, you know, that. Get an update from stock growers and stuff like that. So that stuff's important to me to just be around the state and go to those kind of things.
He says since 1872, the Wyoming Stock Growers has been helping to keep ranchers ranching.
Yeah, we deal with it all and stuff like that. As an organization, you know, to water to taxes to private land, public land, you know, It's a big deal. We cover a lot of issues and stuff like that. And I know we benefit every producer in the state.
And despite the ongoing policy challenges, he says it's a great time to be in the cattle business.
It's pretty fun right now. It's fun to sell cattle. It's, there's some dry areas, which we're one of those areas that's not real great and stuff. But the prices, you know, too bad our expenses have gone up so much. But still, you can't beat these prices, and it's kind of unreal. I don't know if we can hang on to this for another year or two. And Reg's the new president, so I guess I'll have to challenge him to keep these prices going higher.
Well, we certainly want to congratulate Jack on a job well done. And, of course, at the conclusion of this year's summer convention, he'll pass the gavel over to Reg Phillips of Dubois, who will take the reins as the Wyoming Stock Growers Association president for the next 2 years. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this. Ranchers, it's time for the 17th annual Diamond McNabb Horse Sale. Saturday, June 7th, 85 saddle horses sell at the ranch near Douglas, Wyoming. At Diamond McNabb, our horses are more than livestock, not just pets. They're partners we depend on with our lives, and you can too. Diamond McNabb Ranch Horses, only the best will do. For more information, visit dmhorses.com or give Ken a call personally at 307-254-7260. Online and phone bidding also available.
Good news, beef producers. Consumers' opinions and preferences on beef are becoming more transparent month after month. Your checkoff dollar supports state-of-the-art research that taps into thousands of consumers' eating habits every month to track modern trends in meat demand and other proteins. With this knowledge, the Beef Checkoff can invest your dollars more wisely in future projects, empower the industry, and strengthen beef's place in the market. Get the full story at yourdollardoes.com. Funded by the Beef Checkoff.
Well, according to this week's USDA Crop Progress Report, an estimated 52% of the U.S. winter wheat crop is rated in good to excellent condition. That's actually up 2 percentage points from last week and 3 points ahead of a year ago. As for spring wheat, well, the government says that 95% of this year's crop was planted as of this past Sunday, running about 2 points ahead of last year's 93%. And the condition of the spring wheat crop as of right now sits at 50%, good to excellent. Wrapping things up with the corn, planting progress there as of Sunday, 93% compared to 90% a year ago. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Let's see here. Darren Gobb with the Montana Sentinel, a conservative blog based out of Helena, a big part of the Montana Freedom Caucus here. He had a report. Yesterday, I think it must have been later in the day here. I didn't catch it till earlier this morning here. But he said this: the city of Missoula will vote on recognizing the pride flag as a, quote, official flag of the city of Missoula. Now, you guys remember Idaho, Boise, Idaho. They did the same thing. You know, Idaho, like Montana, like the country, frankly, is you have an entire sea of red with these islands of blue. And
And that's what Boise is. You know, you've got the city of Boise. I know they say Boise, not Boise, but I'm in Montana. That's how we pronounce it. And so they've got this far-left city government in Boise. And so the state says, okay, no more of these political flags over our government buildings. Government buildings, you got the American flag, you got your state flag. Here in Montana, you're also supposed to have the POW/MIA flag. And then none of these political flags. I mean, what if these cities and towns across Montana made the Trump flag their official city flag? Right? Well, maybe they should now. Anyway, Darren Gobb wrote this. It seems Missoula keeps raising the bar on crazy. At their 6 p.m. city commission meeting, which, of course, now took place last night, he wrote they will vote to recognize the pride flag as an official flag of the city of Missoula. Their desire is to circumvent Representative Braxton Mitchell's House Bill 819, which restricts flags flown on government property to only those recognized as official flags. Darren Gobb writes, the pride flag represents the LGBTQ community with six stripes that are one color short of an actual seven-color rainbow. He says the pride flag is missing the color indigo. Anyway, just an interesting sidebar on that one. But I did see the news after it broke because Representative Braxton Mitchell, a state legislator out of Columbia Falls, shared the update on Facebook last night. The Missoula City Council just voted 9-2 to make the pride flag the official flag of the city. What a joke. Anyway, he calls it an outrageous move that openly defies the spirit of House Bill 819, which he says he proudly sponsored to keep political and ideological symbols off government property. These spaces should remain neutral. This is nothing more than a blatant attempt to hijack government property for political messaging and force an ideology onto the entire community using taxpayer dollars. He says, I'm working on a fix for next session to strengthen this law so Missoula can never pull a stunt like this again. You know, it's interesting, despite these stunts from Missoula and elsewhere, woke is on a full-blown retreat. People are sick of this nonsense. That takes me to what Matt Walsh had to say at the DailyWire.com about pride and how really is. Well, anyway, stand by. In the woke update of the week on Thursday, but I still want to hear what David Noble has to say about all this, so I'm sure we can talk about this and more later in the week. On Thursday, when we get to our woke update of the week section here. But yeah, here we go. So Charlie Kirk, Turning Point USA, he shared this news report on X. And the news report is about how all these radical LGBTQ, RSTLNE groups are now reporting substantial cuts in funding due to the Trump administration ending DEI.
There and you're hitting the pavements and you're getting those no's and the doors closed in your face because of the current climate.
Yes! As pride season in the U.S. enters its peak this summer with World Pride slated to take place in our nation's capital June 7th, LGBTQ organizations across the country are reporting substantial cuts in funding.
Oh, no. Oh, no. See, they think they're entitled to your money to promote their agenda. Yeah, remember when there were practically naked men jumping in the streets of Livingston, Montana, and elsewhere? They think that not only are your little kids supposed to see this stuff in downtown public places like Livingston or elsewhere, they think you're supposed to pay for it. They think they are entitled to your money, your business's money, your taxpayer money, official government promotion of these events. It's not just that they just want to go march through the streets to, you know, make a political statement about whatever their lifestyle is. No, they want you to pay for naked men dancing in the streets in front of kids. Matt Walsh with the DailyWire.com. That's where I spotted this Charlie Kirk post. He shared that at the Daily Wire. He says, as we predicted a while back, the most irrelevant and low-energy Pride Month in the history of Pride Months is officially underway as of June 1st. The LGBT movement is currently coming to terms with the reality that after years of browbeating everyone into tolerating and then applauding and then participating in disorder and dysfunction, people are simply too disgusted and annoyed to put up with it anymore. Matt Walsh says, the signs are all over the place. The city of Boise, far left stronghold in an otherwise very conservative state, just canceled its Pride Month kickoff due to insufficient attendance. But, hey, they got their flag, don't they? Wow, that's interesting. I hadn't heard that about Boise. He says, this is the same city that proudly named the so-called Pride flag as an official government flag just a few weeks ago. And they couldn't, so the city says, we're going to make it our official flag, huh? Just like Missoula just voted to do last night. Only two common sense people voting against that. The same city that will that just hiked the taxes on, you know, by 20% on their people. Yeah, that's right. Even if you're LGBTQ, they just took 20% of the money out of your pocket. But hey, fly your stupid flag. Fly that stupid flag. Good night. And then Boise couldn't even get enough people to show up at their pride.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right. Oh, I thought of it during the break there. There's one other thing I got to add. You know, we were talking about these elitists. Well, we weren't talking about it. We've talked about it before, but who was talking about it? You had Charlemagne the God. A prominent black radio host who's, you know, basically, well, you know, earlier this week we were talking about how the Democrats want their own Joe Rogan. For the black community, my assumption is that Charlemagne, he calls himself Charlemagne the God. That sounds a little blasphemous, so I just call him Charlemagne. Anyway, Charlemagne basically was the Joe Rogan for black Democrats. But then you saw his audience started really turning on him during the 2024 elections. I mean, because they had these illegal aliens in their backyard. I mean, think about it. If you were a brother in New York City and you saw your kids get kicked out of their school so a bunch of illegal aliens could take over your school, why would you vote for the Democrat Party? I mean, and that's just one example. We could go off for the whole segment talking about what happened in places like New York City, Chicago, and elsewhere. The Democrats put non-citizens, illegal aliens, over especially black Americans in the inner cities. They deliberately said, no, we don't care about you guys. It's bring in all the illegals. We don't care. Same thing about Native Americans. I mean, the Democrats chose illegal aliens and Mexican drug cartels in Trinidad and Aragua over Native Americans who have been targeted by these very operatives. But the point that Charlemagne and then the white guy from the Brilliant Idiots podcast, I think it was, the point that they were making is that these guys are a bunch of elitists who live in the Upper East Side, and they go to Harvard, and they have their little elitist bubbles. And so they aren't out in the culture. What they mean is they don't know what everyday people even think. They don't even live lives like everyday people. They're absolutely clueless. And I would add, it's not a money thing. It's not a money thing. Some of the most successful private sector entrepreneurs you will meet are also some of the most down-to-earth people you will meet. Probably why they got so successful in the private sector. See, because unlike the government sector, where they can force people to give them money, the private sector, you actually have to earn people's trust and respect for them to want to do business with you, for them to want to give their money to you. And so, yeah, some of the most successful people, look at the ranch families here in Montana that, you know, are prominent ranch families, large landowners, very successful people, but you wouldn't even know it if you were just walking down the street talking to them, sitting next to them at a cafe over lunch. Because they're down to earth, not an arrogance about them whatsoever. Just a humility that's been passed down from generation to generation. and a respect not just for the land, but a respect for their neighbors and a respect for people. And these elitists at Harvard and a lot of, and unfortunately, even some of our own institutions here in Montana, they are in their own little bubbles and they want to dictate to everybody else around them. Since I'm going down this track here, this is, I think, further confirmed in new polling that was revealed here. Let's see, townhall.com had this video where on CNN, CNN's own pollster was revealing new polling data, and apparently CNN was just flabbergasted by this new polling that reveals how Democrats are falling even further behind.
They expect that Democrats would have this massive lead on the economy. It ain't so. It ain't so. The party that is closest to your economic views, in November of 2023, it was the Republicans by 11 points. Now it's still within that range, still within that margin of error, plus 8-point advantage for the Republican Party. How is that possible, Democrats? How is that possible after all the recession fears, after the stock market's been doing all of this, after all the tariffs that Americans are against, and Republicans still hold an 8-point lead on the economy? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, maybe it's because prices are actually going down. Maybe it's because the inflation numbers actually got better, and even better than all of the so-called experts expected. Yeah, maybe it's because people actually want to see these criminal illegal aliens deported. Maybe it's because the American people actually don't want to see radical Islamic terrorists lighting Holocaust survivors on fire in the streets of America. By the way, some on the left are big mad at the FBI director, Kash Patel. They're big mad at Deputy FBI Director Dan Bongino because they called the radical Islamic terror attack in Boulder, Colorado, exactly what it was, a radical Islamic terror attack. The Boulder Police Department, now, of course, you know, there's great men and women in law enforcement, but you live in a left-wing city like Boulder, Colorado. Who gets to appoint the police chief? The far-left city government. So what do? They put in some, you know, politicized police chief who has to bow down to the woke gods, just like the city of Missoula bowed down to their woke small-g gods yesterday by making the pride flag their official flag. And so some on the left are mad. How dare you call this terrorism? You don't know that. Yeah, we do. The guy was throwing Molotov cocktails at 70 and 80-year-old Jewish people who were peacefully protesting as he yelled Free Palestine. Another anti-Semitic chant. But the police, the politically appointed police chief in Boulder was like, well, we can't call it that just yet. We have to wait until our full investigation, which was their way of saying we have to wait until nobody's paying attention anymore to finally acknowledge what just happened in their own city, which is radical Islamic terror attacks fueled by their elitists on their Ivy League college campuses. Yeah, and so CNN is flabbergasted by new polling that reveals how Democrats are falling even further behind. Yet they keep bowing down to their woke small-g gods, which takes me back to this write-up here by Matt Walsh from the Daily Wire talking about how Pride Month is now on life support. I mentioned that Charlie Kirk post on X where, you know, you've got all these LGBTQ organizations across the country that are now reporting substantial cuts in funding. Matt Walsh says this: they'll blame the Trump administration for cutting funding. They'll demand that the community send them more money, but under no circumstances will they change their behavior. They won't stop twerking in front of children or engaging in sex acts in public or glorifying the chemical castration of children. They won't do any of that because they are fundamentally narcissistic, and that's what the whole movement is really about. It's why it's called Pride in the first place. But millions of Americans are very aware of what the so-called LGBT Pride movement actually stands for at this point. That's why if you walk into your local department store, you'll probably see similar indications that the downfall of Pride is upon us.
A woman named Caitlin Francis just uploaded two photos showing a side-by-side comparison of a Southern California Target store. She shared a photo of her Southern California Target store on June 1st of last year versus June 1st of this year. They've replaced the LGBT colors and the shirts saying trans people will always exist with clothing that reasonable people would actually wear. They've got American flag shirts instead of the LGBT propaganda now. It's almost as if Target, like every other major corporation, has realized that normal people vastly outnumber the far-left activists they've been pandering to. Indeed, with each passing year, again, this is from Matt Walsh at the Daily Wire. Indeed, with each passing year, Americans are increasingly aware of what the promises of the so-called gay rights movement have actually been fraudulent all along. The facade is crumbling, and it's crumbling very quickly. Yeah, just a very interesting write-up here by Matt Walsh with thedailywire.com. I gotta repost that one on X, make it easier for you guys to find that one and much more. Holy cow, I can't believe it's already almost 6:50 here. Man, we got a lot to talk about here. And I'm trying to sneak a lot in here in the early morning hours of the show because John Jackson, the Joker from X, is with us here later on, starting in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. And, man, you guys know those that hour, sometimes two, hopefully two today, goes by so quickly. And then we enjoy mixing it up with callers as well. And then I try to sneak in some of the fun audio clips here. So that's why I'm trying to sneak in a whole bunch of stuff here early on, because if I try to save it for the 8 or the 9 o'clock hours, you know what's going to happen. We're gonna end at 10 a.m. and we're going to be like, man, we didn't get to A, B, C, D, and E. Yeah, you could make a joke about the LGBTQRSTLNE while you're at it as well.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
And at what point does anyone ask the tough question, is there any degree of elder abuse here? Because it had to be worse behind the scenes. I think you saw the best of him at Congressman Seth Moulton on with Bill Maher over the weekend, saying part of the reason for the cover-up of Biden's mental fitness is because Democrats feared being honest would help Donald Trump. We also found out over the weekend, and this doesn't surprise me because we were calling it out at the time. Remember, they would not go to East Palestine. You know, they were too busy. And now we find out the Biden White House insisted families were safe publicly, but they found that it was toxic and could cause cancer and warned of a cancer cluster. And they weren't telling the people of East Palestine.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Pure Talk, my wireless company, a veteran-owned company, believes every man, every woman who has faithfully served this country deserves to proudly fly an American flag that was made in America. And that's why Pure Talk is on a mission to give an allegiance flag, the highest quality American flag made in Charleston, South Carolina, to 1,000 veterans in time for these patriotic holidays. Just switch your cell phone service to Pure Talk. Do it this month, and a portion of every sale will go to provide these high-quality flags, hand-sewn, to deserving vets. Now, with plans starting at just $25 a month for unlimited talk and text and plenty of data, you can enjoy America's most dependable 5G network, all while cutting your cell phone bill in half. Average family saves over $1,000 a year. You just dial #250, say the keyword save now. Pure Talk's customer service will make the switch. #250, keyword save now, support our veterans, and switch to America's wireless company, Pure Talk.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny to partly cloudy skies, today a few isolated showers or thunder showers possible this afternoon. High temperatures stay from the lower to middle 60s. For tonight, isolated shower, thunder shower chance early, followed by low temperature readings from the low to mid 40s. And then for Wednesday, we'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine with high temperatures in the mid 60s to around 70 degrees. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
He's the super-sized, super-pack hypocrite. First, John Tester took a job with MSNBC. Now he's got a job for, ding, 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 a super PAC. What a super PAC hypocrite. That story is at MontanaTalks.com. Plus, remember that eruption at Biscuit Basin in Yellowstone last year? Well, there's a new webcam to keep a close eye on things there. We've got that story at MontanaTalks.com. And why Montana boaters have one less sticker to worry about.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, got a few great messages that came in here on the Montana Talks app. Let's see. A listener in Whitehall says this, a thought on Biden's 10% and mental condition. For those of you just getting up and rolling with us, I shared a great soundbite from Jesse Waters' program last night where he was talking about Joe Biden and how, you know, it's very obvious to everybody, not just you and me, who've seen it with our own eyes all along, but it's very obvious that the big guy was not at operating at 100%. And so I threw out the question, was the big guy too concerned with getting his 10%? Or was the bigger problem the fact that he wasn't operating at 100%? What was the bigger problem with Joe Biden and the Biden family in general? Was it that they were too busy and too focused on getting their payout and getting their 10%? Or just the fact that the big guy wasn't operating at 100%? The listener in Whitehall says, Biden's 10% was making sure that he has 10% while the other 90% was lost in the closet. And then if you don't get that reference, Josh Hawley says that a new whistleblower has come forward from inside the Biden White House. I believe it was Secret Service or another security detail member who was telling Senator Josh Hawley and other lawmakers that Joe Biden got lost in the closet. Not figuratively, he literally got lost in the closet. Let's see. Chris in Billings. Democrats aren't individuals. They're like the Borg, a hive mind, except they don't have a queen. It was Joe Biden's turn to be president. Meanwhile, Tim in Savage. Yeah, this was a story that I was thinking about kicking off the 8 o'clock hour with, but hey, let's roll with it right now. The Washington Post is flabbergasted about the fentanyl seizures going down. Have you guys missed this? Did you see this Washington Post headline? I know Tim and Savage saw it, but did you guys see this one here? The Washington Post, back on May 31st, just a few days ago, had this headline, the mysterious drop in fentanyl seizures on the U.S.-Mexico border. The reasons behind the decrease of fentanyl seizures in the U.S. and along the Mexico-U.S. border are complex. Stephen Chung, who is the communications director for the Trump White House, says the Washington Compost clearly suffers from Trump derangement syndrome. They can't stand that President Trump's strong border policies have led to a decrease in fentanyl coming into the U.S. Homeland Security, the Department of Homeland Security, posted this in response to that Washington Post headline as well, saying it's no mystery. On day one, President Trump closed our borders to drug traffickers. From March of 2024 to March of 2025, fentanyl traffic at the southern border fell by 54%. The world has heard the message loud and clear. And then Breitbart News this morning has a great headline. Washington Post mocked for labeling drop in fentanyl seizures mysterious. Mysterious drop in fentanyl seizures. And then, of course, they've got the Stephen Chung quote in there as well. Yeah, mysterious drop. I remember when our friend Ken in Great Falls, when we were talking about illegal immigration, the Mexican drug cartels targeting the reservations here in Montana in particular. And Ken in Great Falls called in. He says, oh, it's not because of the border. The fentanyl's not coming in because of the border. It's coming in through our ports. It's coming in through those shipping containers. Now, we'd all acknowledge that that's part of the problem. That's always going to be part of the challenge. That's why port security matters as well, right?
But the idea that allowing 21 million people to freely roam across our border, 2 million gotaways alone, wait till you hear what Tom Homan had to say last night, 2 million gotaways alone that they know about. That's not the ones they don't know about, of course. And this idea that our friends on the left, like Ken in Great Falls, would think, oh, there's no way that they were bringing fentanyl and methamphetamine into the country.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The nice thing about writing the listing federal budget ship is that it's totally within our power to do so in an orderly way, at least today. But every time Congress passes laws to limit its spending, remember Graham Redmond Hollings, it finds ways to ignore them. State governments that have balanced budgets have, some better, some worse, those requirements written into their constitutions. Clearly, a similar requirement must be adopted at the federal level, or one Congress's frugality will be gleefully undone by the next. An even more daunting task will be removing golden handcuffs, putting the giant entitlements off limits for budget discussions. Everything that spends money, with the exception of interest on the debt, needs to be on the table. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and even veterans benefits need overhauls just to make them financially sustainable. And just as Willie Sutton famously said when asked why he robbed banks, that's where the money is. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.